We are going to be having a chat with Hanlie van der Merwe, portfolio manager of Oryx Properties. And Lawrence Anderson is here as well, who's an asset manager. Okay, Hanlie, I think let's start with you. Explain to me, please, what it is that a portfolio manager does. Because I'm assuming when you're talking Oryx Properties, you're talking a portfolio of very diverse properties, right? Mm-hmm. So you look after the whole batch.
That's correct. So a portfolio manager will one day find herself in a meeting with a retailer and the next day trying to get the papers off the floor.
Okay.
It is incredibly varied, but portfolio management specifically within a property fund is responsible for the day-to-day activities of the fund, including some key objectives. Okay. Those key objectives can be realizing the net income budget set by asset management, filling vacancies, which there might be, retaining existing tenants, negotiating rentals, overseeing maintenance, and generally making sure that income and expenses are kept in check.
Sure.
A fund such as Oryx would make commitments to its shareholders, and behind the scenes, portfolio management makes sure those commitments are met. I was recently appointed as a portfolio manager within Oryx, like 4 months ago.
Okay.
So for
still
me,
a little bit shell-shocked, or are you fitting in easily?
But a wonderful company. So for me, property as a discipline is a passion for me, and I love what I do, and this makes it easy to contribute to the Oryx strategy.
Don't you find, though, that you know, you kind of the receptacle of all the trouble that comes up from the tenants? Because let's just say these are not individuals living in houses, right? These are malls with lots of people and companies in there, and they come and they go, and there's a lot of stuff, and this I don't like that, and this is not right. Is that kind of what you deal with on a regular basis?
Correct. So it's very like you have to smooth their day over as well. They are also there to, you know, for the bottom line, which is profits.
Yeah.
They don't want to, you know, contend with a dirty mall, a security issue, their clients and customers not getting parking, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah,
so, you know, it's making that whole process seamless for a customer and a tenant.
And of course, you know, the economy is under pressure. So somebody's in there. There's no, we'll worry about it later. Every hour, every minute is important to your tenants to be able to make as much money as they possibly can and keep their overheads as low as possible and all the expenses. And that's kind of where you come in to try and smooth that operation, right?
Absolutely. And competition is rife in the market. Everybody's competing for the same customer for the same product.
Okay, let's do one more question before we move on. So you tell me quickly, Lawrence, you look as if you are a man who can sort people out, right? You look like you're a nice big guy. So what does an asset manager do? I'm assuming if you're talking about assets, that's what you guys are controlling and look after. You got to make sure that everything is there that should be there and that you guys could keep your promises that you made to the tenants, right?
Yes, exactly, Dion. So I think that basically, you know, the way Hanlie was mentioning about her focus being her tenants and her clients, we are also one of Hanlie's clients in a way. So our role is, you know, acquisitions, disposals, management of the portfolio, and then making sure that the objectives that we set are, you know, beneficial to our stakeholders, but also achievable by the portfolio management team, basically.
Okay, that's interesting. We're going to talk some more about Oryx Properties when we come back. First, the news, though. 4 minutes past 8 o'clock. If you missed the first part of our chat, I'm talking to Hanlie van der Merwe, portfolio manager, and Lawrence Anderson, an asset manager from Oryx Properties. So let's move forward now. This is a very big company. Oryx hasn't been around for decades and decades and decades and decades, but it is making quite a splash on the Namibian scene, right? It is now listed on the Namibian Stock Exchange, which is always not only a good thing in terms of stability of a company. That proves a lot because you need to cross certain hurdles to be able to list. You can't, it's not just any company that can list, right? So how broad is your portfolio? Because, I mean, you probably have to be quite wide in that sense because you need to kind of compensate for one side maybe not doing as well as the other side.
Yes, Dion, it's exactly that. So I think that you know, in the Namibian market, you know, it's a small market, but it's diverse and it's vibrant. So our strategy is very much to, or has been, to create and maintain a balanced fund, which we would then refer to the various sectors within the real estate industry. So our fund is sort of headlined by the retail sector. That's our biggest sector. And the most prominent asset being Maroua Mall. But we have a couple of others as well. We've got that exciting Dunes Mall deal that might come through as well. And then we also have an office, industrial, and residential sector that form part of the portfolio. So the portfolio in total at last reporting date was around just under $3 billion.
Wow. That's the value of the assets as they stand.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah. And they get
of course, they generate income as well because you have tenants in them and all that sort of stuff. Do you constantly have an eye out on what becomes available? Do you kind of target things beforehand and look at, I've heard of this property, this mall. I'd love to get involved there if it ever comes up.
Hmm. Yeah? So I think... You know, with any, I think it's the same in any industry. You know, you leverage on your networks. So you need to keep close to what the market's doing, and not only within Namibia but globally. You know, we do have a small portfolio or a shareholding in a portfolio in Croatia as well.
Okay. So we need to be good for holidays. I mean, Croatia's lovely holiday.
Yeah. So we need to keep tabs on those sorts of things and understand what's happening in the market. And I think that that's very much, you know, I touched earlier on the asset management division within Oryx. That's very much what we do. Watch the market and decide, you know, where are we headed in the next 6 months, year, 5 years,
sure,
and where do we need to play? And that ultimately is where things like the Dunesmore acquisition comes from. It's watching the market and seeing what's happening in those geographies and those demographics, and then trying to make sure that you don't miss out on those sorts of opportunities.
Obviously, just in terms of what the economy is doing in general, you know, what are the hot spots? Which places are really growing? Which places are a little bit more stagnant, perhaps? All of those would also play a role in where you want to get in, right? Mm.
Look, I think the nice part of the market at the moment, and I don't like to say the dreaded C word, but post COVID, you know, everything's ticking up to some extent. Now, the only anomaly in that you could argue is office space, and you can go look at all the research papers in South Africa around the office sector and what's happening there. I mean, they're sitting with, you know, I think we saw the other day 37% vacancies in Sandton as an example. So, you know, we've been much more resilient than that in Namibia, but work from home is reality. Hybrid working solutions are reality. So catering to that market, I think, is probably the most challenging at this stage, and probably where you have to be the most creative. But all the other sectors, we're actually seeing strong growth, and we're seeing, you know, we're seeing movement in the market within the whole of the country. There's obviously this, you know, all this oil buzzword lately, which is making everyone excited along the coast, and that's another area I think to watch is, you know, what effect and what's the timing of that effect is going to be on our economy.
That is also important, though, in the sense that, you know, when we look around and people like myself, lay people, look at the economy, go, ooh, it's not going so well, we've got a lot of inflation. But there is this undercurrent, like you say, of, you know, there is growth. There is definitely an uptick. I mean, I think we're seeing it in residential property slowly but surely as well, compared to where they were, you know, 15, 20 years ago. That was the thing to invest in. Mm. And then it sort of hit kind of a flat spot. Mm. But I think it's slowly but surely picking up again. I'm looking at this completely the wrong way. But we just, you know, we don't have the same insight as what you guys do, which is really kind of handy.
Yeah, it's very interesting to see those trends. And, you know, being a listed fund and having exposure to all of that, you actually kind of see these leading indicators.
Yeah.
So we saw an uptick in our residential portfolio, as an example, you mentioned residential, you know, just over a year ago already, and you can see it in our results from last year, is that the vacancies started dropping towards the end of last year, and they've remained low, which means that the demand is very high. And that's a function of the excitement in the general business community around the economy in Namibia and what's happening here.
A question for you, perhaps, Hunley, maybe it's you, maybe it's Lawrence. When you are a listed company and you have a portfolio worth about $3 billion, as you were saying, and you're looking at a potential another big acquisition, another mall, that's a huge sign of positive belief in where the Namibian economy is going, because that's spending a lot of money, that's investing a lot of money, and you wouldn't do that unless you guys felt that there's definitely room for growth and room for a size and expansion in this country, right?
I would imagine that, you know, from a global perspective, you would say that yes, that's definitely a sign of confidence, and that's a quite a large asset to bring onto the Oryx portfolio. But when we look at the process of that portfolio analysis and we break it down, what would make us look at a property, and how do we see a property, analyzing a property? The ultimate goal is to create the right tenant mix within a retail center. So sometimes we get it, sometimes we see the opportunity of getting that tenant mix, you know, better or right. We do that by doing market research. It's undertaken by specialists in the field. They then advise Oryx through, for example, interviewing shoppers as to what shoppers or customers want to see in our centres. Where shoppers choose to spend their money should be important to us, as this drives the sustainability of a centre ultimately. We use certain analytics based on how our existing tenants perform and how new tenants forecast their income through different tools to ensure that tenants remain relevant and trade optimally. So all of that analysis kind of makes us get to a decision sell, buy, or you know, just maintain.
Important that, because it's almost like a chess game all the time. So you'll be sitting there going like, all right, we're getting a lot of retail coverage now, but people want something, they want to be able to eat something here, and we don't have restaurants or fast foods. And then when somebody pops up, you'll kind of keep an eye out for somebody who's looking for space, right? Because you now kind of know what's short in your mix or how you want to adjust it. It's interesting stuff. I mean, it's and obviously as things change, we use, let's say, Maroua Mall just as an example. You have them, and they were always, for the entire southern suburbs, Olympia and all that, they were the closest place to go to, and now there's another mall there. So now obviously the way in which you approach that side of things and how you handle Maroua Mall will then also to some extent play off of what the other malls are doing in the country, right, and in the city specifically.
Absolutely. Identity is very important for a mall. And then also, that shopper surveys that we do, et cetera, et cetera, tells us, you know, we want to have an outside seating area, a food, you know, we want entertainment. Our kids need to go somewhere during the holiday season, those kind of things. So we try and answer that demand. Maroua Mall specifically has a very nice and a strong entertainment node for the toddlers, you know, the tenpin bowling, the movies, et cetera, et cetera. So that actually speaks to a different kind of identity Maroua as opposed to something else. You know, you can either be a follower or a leader.
Sure.
And one of the core goals for us is to have an identity, not to follow.
Yeah. All right. So you're talking about a lot of analysis, right?
That's right.
All the time. Now, where do you get this info from? You say you contract some local people who would do surveys like that, who would structure them and ask the right questions. But what about international trends? Where do you guys get information from? You know, are there agencies, are there organizations that provide that?
Yes. So I think that there are a number of sort of research organizations and portals that one can use to get that sort of information. The best is obviously firsthand. So what we do try and do is leverage off that exposure to Europe that we have.
Yeah.
You know, you'll see things there, like, you know, the one center that we have, there's a AstroTurf soccer field on the roof of the center.
Wow.
You know,
that's something unique.
So they do things like that, you know, we're not used to necessarily in Africa, let alone Namibia. Yeah. So it's things to watch, and some of it might work here, some of it won't. You know, you can't take a European model and plug it in here and expect it to work.
Sure.
But I think that, you know, as Hanley mentioned, making sure that you stay true to your identity. And in Maroua Mall, for example, being our biggest asset, and the whole be part of the family slogan that we have there, that's very much the focus. And, you know, we're busy now with the beginning phase of an upgrade at Maroua.
Okay.
And throughout that upgrade process, with the architects and everyone that's been involved, the consistent message has been stay Namibian and stay family orientated.
And obviously, you have to spend time thinking about that as well, because it has to be revamped and changed, but just physically it also has to be obviously maintained on a regular basis. But you have to do revamps and upgrades. It has to look a little bit different every now and then, because it's like your house. You go there all the time, and after a while you want to paint. You want things to look a bit different. Soccer field on the top floor of your parking, I think that could work. Hashtag great idea from Croatia. But that's just, but you know what I'm saying? I suppose you can get ideas from there that might work there, might not even work here. But just the fact that there is an idea of something that I would never have thought about that. And yet, I think it could be an absolute blast watching people on a parking lot top floor playing football. You know, why not?
Absolutely.
All right, let's wrap this up. Let's just talk about, you said Dunes Mall. It's a possibility. You guys are looking at that at the moment. And that is massive. That must be one of the biggest ones at the coast, if not the biggest, right?
Yes, if I may answer, Dion.
Sure, please.
So yes, Dunes Mall is definitely, I think, the dominant center at the coast.
Yeah.
You know, we were very impressed by, you know, the seller's ability to manage the asset from when it opened in 2017 until now. Obviously, we go through very detailed due diligence processes and all sorts of things. So, you know, we've been very impressed with not only the look and feel of the asset, but also its position within the coastal market.
Yeah.
You know, as Hanley said, it is a, for us at least, a huge acquisition. You know, we're adding 20% to our portfolio sort of overnight.
Wow.
If it comes through. So, you know, it's been a long time in the works for us. Hopefully we're close to it now. One or two more boxes to tick and hopefully we're there. But, you know, I think that once that comes on board, it'll also be the biggest acquisition we've ever done. The second biggest being Gustav Fuchs Center a few years ago.
Yeah.
So this is at least another sort of 20% bigger than that.
If we're talking plus 20%, are you talking value?
Value
plus 20%
on the portfolio, yeah.
That's what, $500 million, something like that, or close to?
Yeah. So the purchase price, and we have disclosed that purchase price is around $620 million.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, again, huge investment. You obviously see value there. You see potential for growth there, and you see good income there, but still it's a chunk of cash to put down. Obviously, you know, you guys deal with shareholders because you're a listed company, so obviously that's another process that has to be done. This is not a one-man show. Says I'm going to take a chance and I'm going to spend this money. You got people who look over your shoulders, not only your CEO but all the way down the line. They're going to get checked all the time and they have these big meetings, and so explain to us where we're getting $600 million from to buy a mall, right? But yeah, so that stuff obviously has to be done and done properly, the due diligence, because you're going to have to be able to back up your decision in that sense to acquire.
Exactly. You know, we have a very experienced board. You know, we've had a bit of rotation on the board in the last 2-3 years, and the members that have come on board have added massive value in terms of these decisions. So our investment committee and the board itself, you know, as you say, we have very robust discussions and we take these things through a very detailed process. And the team sitting there are highly experienced and have done these things a number of times, so they know what to look for.
Well, that's what you want. You want experience. You don't want people taking chances and, you know, perhaps not doing the due diligence and having the background to make these kinds of decisions. All right, finally, so management of shareholders to some extent is the same as what you do. You negotiate, right? And you try and sort Lawrence's side of things out together with your tenants and all that sort of stuff. But do you also work with the shareholders themselves and sort of put information out for them so they know what's coming and why? Because you surely don't just work through the board itself. Mm-hmm. That information has to be disseminated to your shareholders as well, right?
Yes. You know, our shareholders see and do you know, everything on a daily basis that impacts us.
Sure.
If our shareholders are actually invested through shares in the company, they go to Marua. They spend the money.
Yeah.
So actually, you know, you actually have more of an influence than you think you have as a shareholder.
For sure.
You know, we've got institutions that obviously invest there too. So I come from a fund where, you know, it was pensioners' monies that we look after. So that is my, that is every cent we spend, we think to ourselves, how can we spend it wisely?
Yeah, and how am I going to get a return on this? Because that's why you invest.
And that is why our shareholders invest. So,
exactly.
You know, it's a end-to-end process. Yeah, and it starts with, what do you spend your money on? Make sure that you spend it well. Make sure that you get that return for your investors and your shareholders.
I think you thought about that because, you know, if you invest in a fund somewhere, that's not something you can see. You can see Marua Mall. You can see what it looks like. Mm-hmm. And if you're a shareholder and you walk in there going like, oh, this place needs maintenance, or, you know, why is there such a problem with traffic? That's something that they physically experience, and that's probably going to come down to or back to you, filter down to you guys, right?
Exactly.
So it's physically, I mean, it's an asset. It stands there. It's a living thing.
Absolutely.
So they actually get to go there and experience it. And I mean, that's what you guys have to be able to back up and say, right, this is why it does what it does.
Correct. So stakeholder management is incredibly important. You know, and it starts with you and our customers and our tenants going into a mall and experiencing a cleaning company and a security personnel. What is your experience with that? You know, so their stakeholder management starts and it goes all the way up to, as you said, our CEO.
Yeah.
And those relationships are incredibly important from our service providers, contractors, tenants, all the way up to our retailers in South Africa who obviously invest a lot of money into the Namibian economy.
When are we looking at an answer on Dunes Mall? Physically, the asset will change hands?
So, Dion, we're still busy with our rights issue process.
Okay.
We're hoping that will conclude fairly soon. And if the answer or if the news from that is good, then it, I think it'll be surprising how quickly you can turn that sort of thing around.
It's been an absolute pleasure. It's a lot of insight into, I mean, how hard can it be to manage it, right? Yeah, obviously, it's a lot more to this than I thought. Thank you so much for spending time today. Thank you so much to Hanlie van der Merwe and also Lawrence Anderson.
Thanks, Dion. Appreciate it.
Thanks for the opportunity.